This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to this week's edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. I'm your host, Jimbo, here. Let me welcome in my co-host, Steve-O. What's going on, bud?
Just tired today, brother. Just tired.
Well, you know, you come in the office this morning, you know, talking about your workout, and, you know, I mean, maybe you're overdoing it.
It's early morning, it feels like. It's 10 a.m. start time gets us.
That's early, all right.
You know what it could be? It just feels like it's Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's constantly we come in here and it's four and a half back. You know what we're going to be on Thursday?
Four and a half back. Well, interesting. Obviously, I was gone Thursday. This schedule that was coming up as the Cardinals had seemingly put themselves in somewhat of a position, although they were in much better position a couple weeks ago. But, coming into this series... Well, both series, you know, there was a lot of talk out there. Well, we got to sweep the Padres, and then we got to take two or three minimum from Tampa Bay. So, you know, being pragmatic about it, to say the least, my thought was we got to get 4-6 because as bad as the Padres are not a great baseball team, but teams don't get swept all the time, right? They don't not win games, right?
Right.
So you got to be somewhat realistic and take the old Tony La Russa approach, right? Like win the series. You know, win the series. So I was hoping for 4 out of 6. And instead, we lost 4 of 6 and find ourselves 4.5 back instead of 2.5 back if we just win what? 4 of 6, right? That old grind, you know, everybody's on the word grind. They like to grind. Well, you grind away and find a way to chip it down and get it manageable, right? Because, again, the issue here is going to be what? We faced the Cubs like 7 more times. Right?
Right.
So that's the issue.
At one point, we controlled our own destiny. Didn't need any help.
Right. You know, now it's a little ugly. But listen, mathematically, we're not out of this thing. Realistically, do you think we're out of this thing?
I thought we were out of it.
Well, that's
3 months ago.
Well, there you go. So, you know, I know at the beginning of the season we had, you know, we looked at this club and we thought they can't play any worse defensively, which I don't know that they've played as bad as they played last year defensively, but it still hasn't been phenomenal, but it's been better.
It's been better. I think this was a better year.
We felt like the pitching couldn't be any worse than a couple of the guys had for last year, right? Although it's went so up and down, it was almost like, can we get everybody on this? Can we get the bullpen and the starters all going at the same time? That hasn't really happened, right?
Right. I would take our starters year this year. I would take it.
Would you take it now, though? That's the thing. Now here we are heading into September. Do you feel really good right now?
No, I don't. You know, obviously there's some issues there.
Well, we got some
but
issues.
If you're saying, hey, we're almost at September 1st, looking back on the first 5 months of the season,
no doubt.
You know, would you have taken that starting effort? Yes.
No doubt. And I think we, as fans, put a lot of emphasis on, who's the number one, who's the five, you know. And the truth of the matter is, you had question marks about injuries from guys, right? So Waka was good early, you know. Lance Lynn's been pretty good. And you were worried about him because you don't know, right?
Absolutely.
Wainwright at times was good and at times really, really bad. I mean, he hasn't really – there hasn't been really much in between with him, I wouldn't say. But Martinez, in your opinion, has he been as good as you hoped he'd be this year?
No, underachieved. Underachieved, I believe. I believe when you look at your number one guy.
But hang on. Before you go any further, is that because the expectations were high?
Correct.
Or, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's the number one.
Expectations from fans and the club, I would say.
Absolutely. I think he's the type of guy that you've got to give him the ball every fifth day and expect him to give you better than a quality start.
Yeah, I got a real problem with that, too. That some stuff came up with that over the weekend, too, that was, or last week. Quality start. I don't understand how six innings and three runs is a quality start.
It's just a number they put on it.
That's a 4 ERA.
Right. It's just a number they put on it. I don't pay – it's a benchmark. That's it. It's okay. The only thing that
you use. Well, let's not call it quality start. Let's call that an average start because that's what it is.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I very simply said, okay – to me, a quality start to me is seven innings and three runs or six innings and two runs. I'll go with that.
Yeah. You know, interesting enough, I don't know if you listened to the show from Thursday. I know you were busy all weekend with stuff.
Rough week.
Coach Pyle brought up, when is the first club going to go to eight starters and give the ball to or 10 starters or whatever it is and say, hey, each guy gets four innings, and then we're going to bring in the guy that close it out every game.
Well,
two closers.
Okay, but let me – okay.
8 to 10 starters,
right,
whatever it is.
But hang on. What do you do when one guy can't make it through his four innings? It's going to happen.
Well, there's another thing that comes into it, the business side of it with the wins. You know, these guys want that fifth inning for the wins.
Well, and that's the other thing, too.
So do you give them, do you say, hey, you got five innings?
It's not going to happen either, because if you go to, how many starters did you say? 10?
8 to 10.
Okay, so 10 starters and a closer is 11. Now you're going to have
two closers.
Two closers?
Yep, going to have two closers.
So you got 12 guys on your bench.
You got 12 pitchers.
Hmm.
So you just roll out. So the biggest problem starters usually have one of two problems. Either they're a slow starter and you can get to them early, or when they get through the lineup the third time, they usually get tagged. So if you're saying, hey, you got four, maybe five innings, and then you're done regardless. I don't care if you got a perfect game. We're going to bring in this next guy, and he's going to warm up as if he's a starter, and he's going to come in, and he's going to give us 3 to 4 innings. And then I'm bringing in my gas at the end.
Okay, I guess my argument with that would be this, and this is where I think fans get a little disconnected. Bullpen guys are only bullpen guys because why? They weren't good enough to be starters. That's a fact.
Or they have to have that role. That wasn't an important role back in the 60s.
Steve. When a guy tells you project as a bullpen guy,
it's because you don't get through the lineup.
It's because you're not
times.
A starter. You're not good enough to be a starter. It's
no,
simple.
That's not it.
Yes,
that's
it
not
is.
It. I'll
yes,
disagree
it
with it. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's because you can't get through a lineup more than once or twice.
Okay, then you're not a starter.
That's why I said if you go to this whole Pyle was bringing up.
Right.
If you go to the whole thing where you're only getting through a lineup maximum two times.
Okay, but I'm not talking about your idea. I'm talking about in baseball right now.
Yes.
You are not a starter, or you're a bullpen guy because you don't. You're either weren't good enough as a starter, or these experts say you don't project as a starter for two reasons. Either you can't get through the lineup, or you don't have the type of pitches that a starter has. Typically, most pitchers have multiple pitches.
Yeah, 3 to 4.
Okay, which is Michael Wacha's ultimate problem. He's got, I guess they say he has three pitches. He looks to me like he has a fastball and a changeup. I don't know about this cutter or whatever you want to call it. I'm so tired of the word cutter, by the way. I wish that word would go away. So that's, nobody, not one guy in the major leagues has dreamed of, that's a pitching in the bullpen, dreamed of being a bullpen pitcher. None of them.
None of them.
Not a one.
Agreed.
Okay, I've had this conversation with them a million times over. Okay? So, but every one of them is happy to be there and is happy to contribute in that role. Okay? People freak out about the bullpen, and they say, well, they're ruined. But that's what happens. That's what, there are no guys that make a career out of coming in 50, 60 times a year. It lasts about 2 or 3 years. You get an occasional guy that'll reinvent himself, or a lefty that they hang on to because his role. But typically, these guys get used, abused, and they're gone. Because, listen, I know that Matt Bowman's pitched a lot of innings, but 10 less appearances wouldn't be any better. It's not good for you. It's just not. These guys throw all the time. You don't take into account all the throwing they do between pitches, warming up. It happens. Just because everybody makes an issue about Matt Bowman, what about the other guys that warm up and don't come in? It happens on every team. Okay? The reason Matt Bowman was coming in here so much is because the other guy sucked. Everybody wants Tui. Tui sucks. Now, I'm not saying he won't be good, but he's not very good right now.
He was fine in AAA.
Well,
right?
You know my theory on that. Okay? Tui wasn't very good. Zach Duke hasn't been very good lately. Okay? They've had all the... Listen. People can say whatever they want to say. From the get-go, the whole thing with Cecil being not very good at the beginning of the year, O being not very good at the beginning of the year, and Rosenthal not being able to pitch like back-to-back days. And then never forget, people forget this. Remember early in the year when O was struggling and Rosie looked like he was doing okay when he came back? Remember that? Remember when he came out and lit it up? And then they were off. Then they had an off day.
Right.
And then they had a save situation, and he wasn't. And everybody freaked out because he didn't come in and pitch. And then you found out he was unavailable after an off day, after not pitching the day before. And I said the roster was poorly constructed. You have a lot of guys dealing with a lot of crap. Okay? But you can't blame them for, I mean, they're supposed to know. And again, I was never a Cecil fan. But, I mean, he's been, I mean, and again, do not tweet at me all these, you know, I get it that he's had some outings where he's been good. Like, more than a few, I get that. But he's got to be good all the time. That's the role. Okay? That is the role. And quit telling me ERA and bullpen guys doesn't matter. You know what I know about pitching? If you don't allow base runners, your ERA doesn't go up. Okay? And guess what? If you want the gig, what's your job as a bullpen guy? You come in hairy situations, and the good ones get out of it without allowing inherited runners to score. Okay? If you want the gig.
Right? Agreed. Yeah.
Okay?
I'm pretty straightforward.
So it's been a rough go, and it started with O. I didn't plan that. It just worked out. But I say it all the time. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Right? Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Right. This thing went downhill when they couldn't hold leads. They got great. They got starting pitching that I don't think they – I mean, even I don't know that they thought they'd be that good.
No. I expect,
and they just gave away games.
I mean, at this point, you could be sitting 10 games clear in the Central, and it didn't really matter, and you could be resting guys.
I mean, listen, if you really think about it, they had so many things start off. I mean, Dexter Fowler couldn't have started any worse, and then we have injuries with him, right?
Right.
Steven Piscotty, not very good, right? Ledmus Diaz, the whole world. This is why you can't jump on the. This is why I want everybody to let Paul DeJong be Paul DeJong. Let
Rodney DeJong?
Yeah, let's let these guys, because here's the deal. Last year, raise your hand if you thought Ledmus Diaz was going to hit 20 home runs and hit 285 this year, 300. Everybody's got their hand up
absolutely.
And play better defense. Why? Because he did it once. This is a guy that was cut from the 40-man roster and nobody picked him up. Okay? And I've said it once, I'll say it again. Jed Jerko. Everybody freaking out about Jed. This is who Jed Jerko is. Okay? He's a career 248 hitter. Now everybody's like, well, you're going to tell me guys can't get better? Yeah, they can get better. Guys typically don't go from 248 career hitters to 330 with 30 bombs without a little help.
I wanted to sell high on him.
You did want to sell high on him. You think they're going to sell high on Pham?
Well, no.
Well, we're going to talk about Tommy Pham because of some things that came up.
Okay.
I mentioned something on a show a month ago, and everybody kind of dismissed me. But I'll tell you what, I think I was onto something.
Might have been, because he fired back at Twitter yesterday, the day before.
Listen, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm also not the dullest. Hey, want to remind everybody to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. It's where you can find the podcast. It's also where you can subscribe to the show and get a notification each time we send it out. Facebook, Twitter, it's where we make our hay. We ask that you guys follow us there. Find us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Make sure you follow us. If you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. Jump in on the conversations. We love it. We love the difference of opinions. And as long as everything's civil and you can even fire at us a little bit, we love it when people get passionate about it. As long as we're all good, we're happy to engage. Check us out on Facebook as well. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Follow our Facebook page. Our ask of you guys as fans of the show or people that aren't fans of the show and just want to rip on us, we don't care. Share it around and get more people involved in it. It's a fun way to stay involved in Cardinal baseball, whether times are good or bad. Check out the new Facebook page as well, Birds on a Bat. That's the Facebook group, if you want to be part of a Cardinal Nation Facebook group. Happy to have you guys there. Can't say enough about all the great Facebook groups that are out there. They make this thing go for us. I feel very privileged and honored to have Nate McHenry on the show each and every week. His RallySquirrel.com Facebook page is second to none. He does a great job. He's a passionate Cardinal guy that does a real good job of sharing stories to get people involved in the discussion. The RallySquirrel.com is just a great place to be involved in Cardinal baseball. The Redbird Report, of course, the old St. Louis Cardinal News and Rumors, they've been a great supporter of the show since they've jumped on board. We will never forget the original, the OG, Chris Lawless, in which I hope things are going really well for him and his fiance. Haven't heard much from him in a while as far as that goes, so I hope that means things are well. You know, sometimes no news is good news, right, Steve-O?
That's what it says in the program, Jim.
So, but Cardinal Nation and Cardinals 24/7, awesome, awesome Facebook pages. Great group of passionate fans. I do like how Chris has to get on there sometimes and bring people down off the ledge, but that's what he does. He's a great Cardinal fan. He's a great guy. And again, you know, a couple of these guys, I'm still waiting for you, and the Cardinal Freak as well, still waiting for you guys to jump on the show and tell us a little bit about why you started your Facebook pages and your fandom for Cardinal baseball. Of course, lineupmedia.fm is what we're a part of, and we're so proud to be. Fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Make sure you check out lineupmedia.fm. Be part of that growing community. I guarantee you'll find another podcast that you'll want to be a part of. Our producer, Brian Kroc, puts the show together. Couldn't do it without him. And, of course, could not do the show without the continued support of many of you out there, one of them being Steve-O, the guy to my right, and his wonderful and beautiful wife, Emily Flowers. Let's hear from them now as they want to tell you a little bit about their mortgage business and just ask for the opportunity. When we come back, we'll hear from Nate McHenry with his RallySquirrel.com report. See you on the other side.
Hey, Cardinals fans. This is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483. Or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending NMLS 2129 is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal housing lender.
Steve-O, we do really appreciate your support and everything that you and your wife do to keep the show on the air.
Great. Thanks. Happy to be here.
Happy to be here. Did you get that from Bull Durham? Was that in Bull Durham?
Good Lord willing.
Things will work out. Good stuff. You know who else the good Lord willing is here each and every Monday is our good friend, Nate McHenry from RallySquirrel.com. Nate, you there?
Yeah, good morning.
How are you,
sir?
How you guys
doing?
Well, it's a little sluggish around here this morning. Steve, you mentioned it earlier, and Nate, I'll ask you. This has been an emotional roller coaster of a season, I feel like.
Absolutely.
We're in, we're out, we're in.
I know. This is the first time, you know, as we've been interacting on our Facebook page, this is the first time where I thought, I'm not really sure I'm in anymore. For the first time, I'm wondering if I'm in. And I'm pretty homery, and I get constantly badgered for being a Matheny apologist and all these kind of things. But, man, it has just been, this week especially, you just think, I just don't know if it's there this year. I don't know if we have what it takes. So it certainly has been a roller coaster for sure. And it seems like people are kind of tired of it.
Well, you do such a great job. I mean, you do. You find great articles. I'm not going to call you a homer and apologist. You're a fan, right? I mean, everybody's entitled. But you do a really good job. And I think part of some of the great Facebook groups that are out there, yours obviously being the creme de la creme, can we say that? Yeah. Yours being one of the tops for sure. You know, like Tony La Russa would say, tied for first. No doubt about it. You do a great job, and you're passionate about it. And, yeah, it's okay if you feel a little homery, I think, because we're Cardinal fans at the end of the day, right? But even you lately, I've noticed, have been a little frustrated with some of your posts. And when I see a guy like you get a little frustrated, man, all I got to do is come to rallyscroll.com on Facebook before I go to Twitter, and I know what's going down on Twitter.
Yeah, right. It's true. You know, I've had a few moments where and some people have even called us out and said, you know, why are you bashing the Cardinals? And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like at this point, the pitching's failing, the bats aren't producing, it's difficult to watch. I just want to see some guys that are excited to play the game. And if that takes young guns getting called up in September so that we can evaluate talent, we can have some fun seeing some young guys excited about the game. I mean, I had fun watching Ryan Sheriff the other night, you know, when he came in and had his debut. It was awesome. He was pumped up, and that, you know, it was a fun part of the game. But it's just right now, you know, it seems like every turn we take, you're just holding your breath and hoping that something bad doesn't happen. And, for me, the Rosenthal injury, when that happened, whatever you think about Rosenthal, whether you like him or don't like him or think he's great or not great, the reality is this year we needed Rosenthal. And when he went down, you know, it just felt like, it probably wasn't, but it felt like, you know, the last straw kind of piece. Like, that's just it. Like, the bullpen can't afford anything, let alone whether people think or not, like, Rosenthal was a piece that we needed this year. It felt bad. So, I've had a more difficult time keeping my head above water and seeing the sunshine this last week. But, you know, just these losses and the way we're not producing, and even yesterday's loss, you know, people were all up in arms and calling out the bullpen again. But to me, it was the offense yesterday. You know, I mean, sure, a bullpen that gives up three runs in 10 innings, I'm not going to fault that, you know, three runs over a 10 inning game. But we just didn't produce. That's all there is to it. We scored two runs, and that's just not enough.
Yeah. I'm with you. I look at this thing. Listen, this is why, yeah, I think if you look back at any team that doesn't make the playoffs or make a run, you know, things just didn't go right for them. You know, most teams, I would say, well, I'm not going to say most. Some teams, I think, can we all agree here that some teams are out of it before the season even starts? I mean, there are certain franchises that they're just not going to be in it. Can we agree on that, most of us? I think so, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay. The teams that are realistically, like, that you think of as, if they get some things to go their way, they're willing to make moves, they have some this, they have that, you never know, right? When you look at those teams, if it doesn't work out, there's usually, you can go back and point to a few things. And those things have what have happened for the Cardinals. Steve and I talked about it earlier in the show. You know, when the starting pitching was going well, the bullpen wasn't any good. Well, then when the bullpen has been better, the starting pitching hasn't been great. And then the offense has been mediocre at best at times, and then it'll score a bunch of runs. You know, there's just really no consistency. I mean, you look at the teams that are in the front of their standings, they go through stretches where they have a long bout of consistency and allow themselves, you know, every team goes through a little, except for the Dodgers maybe, right? I mean, every team goes through funks, but it seems like we can never get everybody on the same page except for those couple of little streaks we've had this year. And that's what happens. I just think other teams have more streaks than others. And that's how I see it. Now, is that talent? Well, of course it's talent. Are we talented? Yeah, but, you know, we haven't shown a willingness in 2 years now, in my opinion, to go out and do exactly what was needed. Now, listen, I've said it once, I'll say it again. I don't have an issue with Dexter Fowler. I want to like Dexter Fowler. I'm encouraged by the way he swung the bat since he's come back from this latest injury. I do not think he's a center fielder. I feel like, even though I say all the time, they've got plenty of money, I also respect the fact that they're going to have a budget and there's nothing that Jim can do about it. I would have rather have spent that money on a closer. I'd have gave that money to Kenley Jansen. I said that on the show 100 times, but whatever. I mean, maybe he wouldn't have come here, maybe not. But my point was, I just felt like there were other avenues that could have helped this club to where today they would be more competitive. And again, it was a multiple amount of things. But I ask you this, Nate, after that mouthful of really useless knowledge, my concern now is I look at this team and then I look at next year and I'm like, it's kind of like, Nate, are you a Blues fan at all?
No.
Not really a Blues fan?
Not.
Well, yeah. for those, and most Cardinal fans are Blues fans. Yeah. This is what it's felt like to be a Blues fan at times. You look at the team that's not good enough, and then you come back next year in your camp, and you're like, we're the same team. That's how I feel. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I don't see much changing. I mean, people are doing all these hypothetical things on Twitter, and I'm like, why do you not have Adam Wainwright and Mike Leake in your rotation next year? Because they're not going anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
So you cannot put them in there and make yourself feel better, but they're going to be in there. Oh, Wainwright's going to retire. I'm like, really? Man, what a scoop.
Right.
You need to run to the presses with that one. So my question to you is, let's fast forward and, you know, let's realize this year is what it is. Of course, we're not mathematically eliminated, but what do you see out of this club that you're like, you know what, we'll get them next year?
Right. Well, you know, to go forward, we need to go back probably a little bit. I think the closer role, for example, is the one piece where, I mean, think about if we had a closer this year that was a somewhat of a shutdown closer, what would our conversation be right now? We'd be in first place.
Yeah, we'd be 10 games clear.
And we'd be 10 games, right. And so that one position alone says we could have been competing. And if there's any years where the Central is for the having, I mean, it's this year, right?
Like, sure.
The Cubs are one team where you look at, you say, going forward next year, now they need to get some pitching in place, but their roster and their talent level, I mean, they're going to be hanging around for the foreseeable future. And so you got to take opportunities like this year, you know, where you have a shot to win that Central. To me, you had to go for that. So the closer role has probably been, in my estimation, one of the most disappointing pieces, because you just know if that was even in place a little bit, we'd be having a whole different conversation and the whole season would look different. And I think it would spill over. We know that baseball is contagious in many ways, and success breeds success, and hitting breeds hitting. And so, you know, you just, if you had that momentum and you had that playing from a place of winning instead of trying not to lose, you know, I think we're having such a different conversation. So that's an area I think we got to address. And you know, there's not a giant basket full of great closers, you know, and we just didn't get up. We didn't get aggressive and we didn't think we needed that. Now, I don't know. Maybe they thought Rosenthal was going to be that guy, that O was going to be that guy again, but obviously hasn't turned out well this year. So that's one piece. I think the results show that we've been in games at a level where if we just had a closer, obviously an eighth inning guy too, you know, if those things were in place, we would be talking about having a great season. But those are two glaring holes right now.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Cardinals have shown their hand a little bit last week. I was intrigued when it happened, and obviously I think Mo confirmed as much. And to me, it looks like Alcantara, they're grooming him. You know, I'm not sure things went exactly well for Steve. And I talked about this at the beginning of the show. You know, nobody dreams of being in the bullpen. These guys are all starters. Now, don't get me wrong. The great closers, I'm sure, are very happy with their role when it comes to it. But even, you know, how long has Rosenthal said he wanted to be a starter? So if they don't feel, is it Sandy? Is that his first name? Is it Sandy Alcantara? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. So if they real if
Alcantara, right?
Alcantara. Is it Alcantara or Alcantara? Well, help me with that, Steve. Well, I mean, come on, get to work while Nate and I are having a discussion here. So either way, I mean, I don't care if his name's Joe Schmo. My question is this. If they think he projects and he's got that amazing fastball and he's got a secondary pitch, I mean, do you get him up here in September? I mean, do you call him up and see if he can do it? Or do you say to yourself, you know what, we're going to leave him down there. We're going to let him feel that ninth inning down there. And then we're going to bring him into spring training and see how he handles it. And you know, my guess would be a Cardinal thing. I mean, signing Rosenthal to a two-year deal is the most Cardinal thing in history. I mean, can't you see them giving him a couple million bucks or $4 million to sign a two-year deal and rehab next year as a wash, and then the next year give him or $5 million or whatever the year after that and hope he comes back, and then depending on what happens with Alcantara, you either have a eighth-inning guy that comes out of nowhere. You know, so that would be my guess. Did you notice? Did when you saw that they moved him to the bullpen with that arm, did that kind of make waves with you as well?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I think it's Alcantara. Alcantara, is
so
that
so both
right?
of us were so, yeah, so the gringo enunciation is Sandy Alcantara. So
Isn't
how
that what I said?
No, Alcantara.
Did I say Alcantara?
Yeah, so Alcantara is how right. Middle America gringo would speak that name.
We'll
figure out, but if you're... You know, if you're from like L.A., Lower Arnold, it's Alcantara.
Alcantara. Well, see, what happened was it was my Madison education with the N. I thought the R was an N.
Yep.
Alcantara. Okay, gotcha. Anyway, so go ahead, Nate. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting move to the bullpen, you know, in Double A there. What's so interesting is just, what if we go on one of these runs again this week or next week and we find ourselves a game and a half out again? You know, that's the problem. It's like,
I don't see any reason with bringing him up in September and throwing him in there. I'm not saying when you bring him up in September, you throw him right in the ninth inning. Bring him up, let him throw in the seventh or eighth. If he goes out and lights it up, because what do we all know? Like, listen, there is no science. But the last three outs are the hardest outs to get. So there's no guarantee he can do it, but ease him into the role, do something. But I say this, to your point, Nate, the way this thing has worked out, who knows? We could be a game or two out a week from now. And number two, what's wrong with getting him a little bit of experience?
Well, nothing. And remember how baseball is or how sports are in general or how life is. When you have help carrying the water, it seems to be the load's a little lighter.
Sure.
So if you get a guy up here and you throw him in the seventh, does that make things easier for the eighth inning guy and the ninth inning guy, you know, or the starter or the hitters? It seems they've got to do something to get a little life in here, somebody that can come up and help some way, shape, or form.
Well, we'll see what happens. Nate, I tell you what, I think we covered all the frustrating parts of the Cardinals today. That should about do it for this edition of the Riley Squirrel Report. Remind our listeners where they can find your great Facebook page.
Yeah, go to Facebook.com and in the search bar, just type in rallysquirrel.com. You can join us and like us. Having a lot of fun and tons of interaction right now. You know, lots of opinions coming down the stretch. And who knows? You know, we got to keep saying it. We're holding on to hope. And I'm trying to hold on to hope, too, although the hope, I think the hope is fading more than it has in recent past. But there is still a chance. And like you mentioned, we're not mathematically eliminated by any means. So, you never know. And with the inconsistency of really everybody in the Central and the Cubs included, you know, I'm anticipating now that they've won a few that they're going to lose a bunch again. So it's just how it's been. So you just don't know how it's going to go. But we'll track it and follow it, and we're going to have fun no matter what. It's still fun to be a Cardinals fan. I'll tell you what, it's still fun when it's baseball season. And I see a bunch of people commenting and saying, like, I'm ready for the Blues. I'm ready for this. Baseball's over. Not for me, at least. You know, I love baseball season. I love going to the games, watching the games. Yeah, I want us to be better this year and want us to experience, you know, winning baseball. But all in all, it's still great to be a Cardinals fan. We have one of the greatest franchises in history. And I'm going to argue that every single time when, in my opinion, ignorant fans, you know, make comments about, like, we're a horrible franchise. I mean, that's just ridiculous. So it's great to be a Cardinals fan. We're not where we want to be, but you know, it's not a black hole. Like, we could be Phillies fans, you know, or whatever. So it's still good to be a Cardinals fan. So love for you to join us, TriSchool.com.
Man, that was a mouthful, Steve-O. I mean, how do we follow that up? He's right.
I know how we follow it up. We get Benji on the phone right away, so we don't have to talk.
But I got goosebumps after that little speech from Nate. You're right. You know what? We've had a great run. And right now, we might suck a little bit, but gosh darn it, did we give up when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Germans? Pearl Harbor?
No.
He's on a roll.
All right. Nato, we appreciate you, my friend, and we will see you next week.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
That is Nate McHenry, and again, from the wonderful Facebook page, RallySquirrel.com. Make sure you check him out. You know, it's funny how you can sit here for 15 minutes with a guy who, again, and I mean this, they all do a great job. Nate does a really good job, and he takes his role in that Facebook page very seriously because there's so many people that have committed themselves to it, right?
Well, when you got 100,000 people following you, it's kind of a serious deal, too.
It's not like, you know, I mean, if you look on there sometimes, man, there's great conversations, great discussions.
Outside of your wife and my wife, does anybody listen to this show?
Well, I was going to say probably not.
Exactly.
Just the people that want to listen to
it. I don't even know if my wife listens.
She probably doesn't. She's a pretty bright gal. But, no, you know what? He's right. And that's the thing. Listen, nobody's telling anybody how to be a fan here. I know it sounds like we are sometimes. I don't know that that's, you know, I don't believe that. It's talking about the whys of all the complaining and all that kind of stuff that is just, and again, what have I said all along? I don't care if you complain. I don't care if you bitch. I don't care what you do. But there's a lot of stuff that becomes complaining just to complain. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It becomes fashionable to just bitch about the manager, or bitch about the bullpen, or bitch about starting rotation. And it's like, okay, what do you got for me now? And here's the real problem, and this is where I'm struggling. I don't like to be the guy that bitches and complains without a solution, but I don't see one right now because I don't see the realistic solutions. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so here's a question, and Coach and I talked about this. Have you... Obviously, I think you're fine with Yachty next year.
Well, why wouldn't you be?
Okay.
There's an example. Hang on, real quick, before you go any further. There's the example. People are still crying for Carson Kelly to play. Why would you do that?
Just to hear themselves talk. But that's fine.
Okay.
Have you seen enough out of Wong that it's his job next year?
I would say so. Only because we've seen enough positive out of him in the past. We've seen positive out of him, but... For a long stretch of time, we needed it, right?
Right.
And I think we're getting it now.
We're getting it.
Yep.
And he's done some different. He's, if you look at a spray chart, pretty good.
Yeah, no issue here.
Can you live with Rodney DeYoung at shortstop?
I don't know. It's funny. Everybody knows Kevin Wheeler, does the Kevin Wheeler show. He and I, you know, we go back and forth on some stuff. You know what? I sent him this. I wish I ought to find it so that I don't. It was pretty, because it was in the moment, so it was worded pretty open and honestly. I said, I need your help, because we were talking about stuff that was going on. And I said, by the way, I need your help. I want to like Paul DeJong at short. I want to believe in him.
Okay.
But there's just something about him that I can't look at him and think next year he's going to hit 20 home runs and play good short. I just can't.
He's another Diaz for you.
Well, I don't
you
know.
Could have got,
well, here's
you,
the thing.
At the
I
end of
know.
Last year, you could have looked at Diaz. You could have said, I could live with that at shortstop next year.
Well, I think everybody did.
Okay, so I'm saying the same thing.
Well, but by the eye test, you know, I don't like him at short. And I know he makes a few decent plays there. But that's a young, hustling, you know, guy playing hard. You can't complain.
Okay.
I'm not complaining. But again, we go into this thing next year going, well, Paul's our shortstop.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. Here's what I'll say. I can live with it. For sure, I can live with it. But unlike a lot of people, if next year he's not as good defensively and the average is 20 or 30 points lower and there's a few less home runs, I'm not going to sit here and go, well, that man, I... I was counting on this, counting on that. I don't know what you can count on. See, there's the real problem. All the young guys, they can't come up here for a year and you say, well, that's who they are.
Absolutely. But at this point in time, and here's what I'm getting to. I think you can live with two outfielders, Fowler and Pham.
Okay? I would agree.
Okay.
I would flip them in the outfield, obviously.
Right. Yeah. So if you look at, we need to keep our eyes open for an outfielder. We need to keep our eyes open for a third baseman.
Whoa,
need to keep our eyes open for a first baseman. And one of those guys or two of those guys got to be a middle of the order guy.
Okay, but how are you going to do that? You have three guys on your lineup that aren't going anywhere.
I know that.
That you want to replace.
Well, only two of them.
What do you mean?
Just Piscotty and Carpenter. And I'm not saying to replace them. I'm just saying if you're looking for something, if you're going to the offseason and you're looking at something, you kind of got to figure out what you got to prioritize things.
Well,
and I think Nate hit it right on the head. The number one priority, it might be, in my opinion, see if you can get Lynn signed. Number two might be your closer role, a back-end bullpen role, right?
Okay, but let me ask this question. And again, I'm with you. I'm with everybody. What have they done in that front office to signal to you that they might do something like that? Nobody's going to – who wants Carpenter? Who wants him? You tell me which American League team wants that DH.
Okay, but I get it.
Tell me.
So, but here's my point. They might not, but can you – is it something where you go, okay, well, if you're married to Piscotty and he's a natural third baseman – can he naturally play first?
But what has he done offensively that you would put him at first base? Listen, you played baseball at a decently high level. What's your first baseman got to be able to do?
Hit bombs.
He's got to rake.
First and foremost, he's got to be able to pick it. Defensively is always first. So then you want that first baseman to fill in the role.
I would disagree with you. Listen, if Carpenter could just catch the damn ball, it would be okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Missing a couple of ground balls here or there or not picking a bad throw, I mean, you'd like him to make those plays. But if a guy rakes, you live with that. But he's not raking. He's went through stretches where he's hit well. But the guy is missing balls that a good first baseman – listen, I'm not saying he's beyond not being criticized, but the bottom line is this. He's missed balls that should be caught.
Right.
Okay, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Okay? So, I don't see any scenario where American League team goes, you know what? Yeah, that's our DH. Who? Who wants him?
Nobody.
So, and then what has the Cardinals ever done that would make you believe that they would get rid of him and not fill that role internally with a Luke Voit? Which, again, I don't like or dislike Luke Voit, but we don't know what he is either. He's another one we don't know what he is. So once again, so what we're saying is we're going to go into next year with either guys that are not getting it done and are aging and have gotten worse, or we're going to go in again with a bunch of unproven guys carrying the water. Is that what we're going to do?
Well, it's obviously we haven't signed anybody in years, so who knows?
Well, Fowler, we signed Fowler.
Well, okay.
But we had him in the minor leagues. His name was Tommy Pham.
Right.
All right, hey, listen. You know, we can talk about this all day long, but we need to hear from a guy that's been there and done that. And I can assure you, while we're sitting over here crying over spilt milk, this guy ain't crying over nothing. So let's welcome in on the M4byYachty.com hotline your friend and ours, Benji Molina. Benji, my friend, are you there?
I'm here, man. How were your vacations, man?
Well,
are they good?
That was not a vacation. That was more of a hard thing, man. Dropping your kid off at college is rough. Woo.
No, I know. I just did mine, so it's really rough. And we got her in the little apartment, and believe me, it was hard to leave her by herself. I mean, it was really, really hard.
It's funny. We were, it started getting really rough the night before when I was laying in bed and just thinking about everything, and then the next morning was awful. I mean, geez, Louise, you start thinking about everything. In your, you know, that's went down to get you to that point. And I think about him, and I'm proud of him and his accomplishments and what he's done. And, you know, I've said on other things before, you know, when he was younger, he was never one of the better players on his baseball team. He was always towards the bottom. And, you know, for him to turn himself into a pretty good baseball player and have an opportunity to play in college, I'm just really proud of him. And he's excited. You know, it's hard. He's excited, you know, and he's getting ready to go start this new life. And here they are leaving, and it's the first one for us, obviously. I don't know if it gets any easier. I thought about that, too, and thought the third one leaving my house would be my daughter, and I imagine maybe that'll be the hardest. I don't know. But, man, you know, thinking about it,
you know,
it's hard.
You know what, Jimbo? The safety, man.
Yeah.
The safety, the way these world, it's so bad right now. You know, it's turning into a really, really bad. And you just want your safety for your kids, and that's what comes to mind. Who's the crazy guy who might do something out there? You don't know, and those are the things that comes up to my mind. In the other end, like you said, I'm very excited for her. Like my daughter's, it's super excited. She's in college. She's living the life now, you know, and she gets time for herself. She's working. She started working, so. I'm happy for that, man. But just the parenting side of it, you know, like the safety and is he going to be all right? Is she going to be okay?
Oh, yeah.
That's the best to me.
Awful, awful. Well, I'm getting sad again. So let's get happy here real quick. You sent something out on Facebook that's got me thinking this was a trick question. You sent something out. I guess you sent it out on Twitter, I guess. What do you guys think my nickname would have been on my jersey? Take a super guess. I know which one I would pick. Now, I don't know. That seems too easy to me that it'd be BMO. You might have been Big Money or Mr. Clutch. I'm not real sure.
Well, you know what? I'm fine with it. You know, I love them all because it means something to me and to us. But I think Benji, just because the way they used to call my dad and the way they used to call me in Puerto Rico, nobody knows me as Ben Molina or BMO. Nobody knows me as a Big Money or anything like that. So I was just leaning towards a family type deal. You know, obviously if I go to San Francisco, I'll be called Big Money. If I go to Anaheim, I'll be called Ben. If I play in Texas, I might be the other one, you know, like what we were saying, or Benji or something. But for me, Benji, it's kind of cool. You know, I think it's just how we grew up.
My assumption is then you've been called all these at some juncture in your career, Mr. Clutch, Big Money, BMO, Benji. So, yeah, that is kind of cool. And you're right. There are a lot of people, different people would know you differently where you go. But it's pretty cool to have those nicknames. Nobody's ever called me Big Money or Mr. Clutch, Steve-O. I don't know.
No, I can't say I've heard that from anybody's mouth either.
I haven't heard that one, but no, that's good. And I thought it was fun, you know, for the players. They had some fun with it. There were some great stories. I thought the uniforms were different. They got into it. So I definitely thought that was exciting. Unfortunately, what wasn't exciting was we played what I thought were a couple winnable series and came out on the short end of the stick in both series. You know, mathematically, we're still in this thing. I'm not sure what we do from here. I don't know. We've got a couple days left here in August. I don't know if they can pull a rabbit out of their hat and get a bullpen arm or something, but or maybe if they even need to. I don't know. But, you know, Benji, I know you will never say die. You will never give up on this thing. But, man, is there much going on to lead you to believe that we can still make a serious run at this?
Let me tell you what I think. They're not showing us, and when I say they, I mean the whole, you know, obviously the whole group, ain't nobody pointing fingers here. So they're not showing us that, right, you know, by the win and losses. They're showing us that they want to win it and on the field. They want to they play hard. The offense is fun to watch, you know, things like that. But they're not showing it to us in the win columns, man, and that's what matters. The W's, I think it's really hard to watch. And how many times and how many shows have we done that we say the same thing? Just one arm in the bullpen. I'm not asking for two or three arms and restore the whole bullpen. That's not what we're saying. What we were saying the whole show and the whole time is, dude, it's only one arm from somewhere that can light up this bullpen and make it easier for some of the other guys, man. And you know how many games we probably could have won this year if we had that. I mean, it's an amazing thought. It's an amazing way to see it, man. It's like over 35 now or something like that we lost because of the bullpen. And you put half of those games up and we're in first place. Easy. Easy. We're in first place. So that tells me, man, that we needed that arm. We needed that arm. And now even more when Rosenthal went down, even though he wasn't doing so well. But we still need an arm even more. And the saddest thing is we don't know if they're trying to get it or not. That's the saddest thing.
We talked a little bit with Nate earlier about Sandy Alcantara, and they've moved him to the bullpen. He's got an electric arm, 100-mile-an-hour fastball. I don't think things were going as well for him in the starter's role as they would hoped. They obviously have a need, and maybe they project him as that guy. Now, let's put Benji Molina, BMO, Mr. Clutch, big money, Benji, Ben, let's put him on the hot seat and say, you're the GM. Do you bring that kid up in September and throw him out there and see if he can do it?
Heck yeah, I do. Heck yeah. Don't you see the struggles in the bullpen? I would bring him up right now and try to see what we can do. These games right now are really, really important. I know we still got a full month of games. I know that. But we're still going backwards instead of going up. We're going backwards now in this last week, I think. So I would bring him up, man. You know what? When we won the World Series in 2002 in the Angels, you know who saved our guts, who saved our butts in that year? Do you have a guess?
With the Angels?
Yes.
Was it, oh, God darn it. What was the guy's name? Troy Percival?
No, Troy's been there for long years.
Okay, I didn't know.
Who saved us?
Well, no, you tell me.
Our guts were saved by K-Rod, by Francisco.
Oh, that's
Rodriguez,
right. That's 19, right.
A 19-year-old kid. 19. Year-old kid that was just brought up, and he only pitched in 5 games in the regular season. Okay? You get that? 5 games, and he was our hero through the whole playoff. Now, you tell me that we cannot bring a guy like, you know, Alcantara and have him. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. Of course, we don't know if he's going to be great or not. That's to be seen. But that's the point. We need an arm. You don't know if this kid's going to be electric down the stretch and help you out, but at least we did something. We tried. We got a guy in to help us out, and if it didn't work out, turn the page, look for somebody else, you know?
Well, that's a great point. And you know, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm not even sure it was a couple of years after that before he ever even became the closer. So
yeah, and how about another guy for you guys that was our key guy, one of our other key guys in that series in that 2002 was John Lackey, a young Lackey that only had 2 months in the big leagues through the Game 7, game-winning and the 7th game of the World Series. 2 months in the big leagues or something like that. And he was so young, first year. Why can these young guys be brought up and see what they can do? They might make a change, man. They might change the whole team.
Well, and I'm assuming where you're going with this is bring them up, and if they can't do it, they can't do it, but at least you tried.
At least you do a try for the whole team, for the whole city that's waiting. The whole city right now, remember, we're talking about St. Louis, a baseball city. They know their game. They know what they're thinking. They know what baseball is about. They know, all of them, they know we need bullpen help. All of them, they all know it. Why can we do it? Why can we get some help? That's my point.
Well, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I guess moves don't always have to come in the form of trades, right? I mean, obviously there's free agency. Everybody likes free agency and trades. Why? Because it's new. Most of the time, if you're trading for an impact guy, they come with a track record. People struggle a little bit sometimes with the promotion from within because you don't know what you get. Now, I think that's fine either way you go, but I do want to try. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work out because we all know that that word potential means that the guy's got what? He's got potential. Potentially good, potentially not so good. But I think when you're in the situation the Cardinals are in, you got to try. That's the thing. It's not like they're bringing up a guy who's a maybe and replacing a guy that you think is getting it done. The bottom line is some of these guys just aren't getting it done. So what do you really have to lose other than a little bit of face on the fact that you might – and really at the end of the day, that's the whole Piscotty thing. You're not going to convince me any different. The bottom line is you signed this guy to a contract – and they're going to play him because that's the business of baseball. But as far as the bullpen goes right now, I don't know why they'd have any loyalty to anybody. They need to find somebody that can get the last three outs.
That's exactly right. That's what we're trying to say here. And if you have somebody in the minors and you say, we don't know what we're going to get, that's exactly the point. We don't know what we're going to get. But if you never find out, if you never bring him up, you'll never find out, but at least if you bring him up and the guy struggle and the guy is not doing so well, oh, man, this is not the guy we were expecting, send him back down. Try somebody else or go get somebody in the trade, you know? But if you don't bring this guy up, you'll never find out. You will never find out about how good he could be or how good he can help your team. That's the point.
Well, and unfortunately, on the flip side, you'll never know if he just can't do it. You know, that's the thing. Steve-O and I were talking a little bit today about next year, like Paul DeJong at shortstop. I was telling him there's just something about it where I don't see him being a long-term fix at short. But, you know, until he proves
but
he can't do
know.
It, yeah, we don't know. But I'm not going to count on him. See, people are already going to count on him for next year. Oh, DeJong's going to hit 25, 30 home runs and hit 300 and play good defense. Well, you don't know that. I'm sorry, but you don't know that.
We don't know that, but at least the guy is up here showing us that he can still hit. He can hit for power. We got to still see he's young. We've seen a lot of guys doing it good in the first year, but then they don't find him, you know. They don't find it again. But at least we have a guy that's been driving in runs and the guy who's been hitting the ball well, you know, out of the park. And, you know, he's not playing bat short. So we don't know in that matter yet. It's not enough games, but at least he's up here. At least he's showing us that he can do it, you know?
Well, and that's the thing. The biggest issue, I think, for fans sometimes is he's up here because of why. Because the other guy that we thought was naturally going to do all this because he had a great year last year didn't do well. And they had a need.
Well, those are the reasons the superstars were born. How about Tom Brady? Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe never gets hurt. Tom Brady would never be the GOAT.
Man, you just stuck a knife in every St. Louis Rams fan. Because if Drew Bledsoe doesn't get hurt, the Rams have two world championships. Do they not, Steve-O?
They do. They do. And I'm sitting here with a second ring.
I know, but what we're saying is about the opportunities. That's why they come up. That the guy gets hurt, somebody else step up, and all of a sudden you don't know what to do with this guy. It's like Tommy Pham. You know, he's been hurt all the time since I know. He always gets hurt. But guess what? This year, Piscotty went down. Grishik is having trouble. Guess what? We have Tommy Pham right there. And guess what? He's our MVP, along with Yadi. That's our MVP this year, man. Are you kidding me? Come on. That's what I'm trying to say. Not necessarily that example, but, like, somebody has to go down so all their little kids in the minor leagues, they can come up and show up and say, hey, Mr. DeWitt, I'm here to stay, buddy. I'm here to show up and get people out, and I'm going to help your bullpen, and I'm here to stay, so you better get that checkbook ready. Things like that, man.
Well, I'm game for giving – I would bring him up. I would. I don't see one downside to bringing him up in September, of course, because, you know, the roster implications or whatever, his clock, whatever word you want to use for – the business side of it. But the truth of the matter is, at this juncture, I'm bringing him up. I mean, they're bringing Owen now. I mean,
let me ask you, does a September call-up, does that go against the clock, the business clock on these guys when they expand the roster?
Well, of course, the time. Obviously, the time counts, you know, anytime you spend in the big league counts. But what they really worry about is the April – the May call-ups, they don't want to bring like Bader. Remember that time we were talking about they didn't want to bring Bader because now they'll make him a Super 2 possibility, and they don't want that. that's another subject. But if your team is struggling, we said this before, if your team needs help, why not bring those guys up? Just because of the business side? I don't get it, man. I think they should just bring the guy you need, like this kid. I don't care if it goes against the business side. I'm not a businessman, so I don't worry about that. I'm a baseball guy, so this guy's going to help my team or our team be better. Bring him up. That's my take.
Well, I think you have business guys running the Cardinals, which is, you know, obviously that we've seen that over the past, and that's probably why they haven't brought those guys up. So I'm Benji. Jim and I were talking before I brought up the point that, you know, if you bring in an Alcantara, that a guy like that, and we saw it with Magna Sierra, we saw it with Bader, when you bring a guy in, it seems to revitalize the whole team, and one little move can really propel, you know, all facets of the game to be better, whether it's pitching, closer role, hitter, stealing bases. What's your experience with that?
Oh, my goodness, Steve-O. If we didn't bring Lackey and if we didn't bring K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez, if we didn't bring those two guys in, we don't win. We do not win. You know what made a difference? We already had Scott Chiles. We already have Ben Weber in the bullpen. We already have Brandon Donnelly. Okay? We had three guys that made the game shorter for us. Those three guys, counting Percival, that was five guys. Four guys that made the game shorter. All we had to do was get to the fifth inning. All we had to do was get to the sixth inning. And if we're winning, we didn't lose the game. We didn't lose. That's why we won the championship, because after the fifth inning, if we were winning, we have four guys that were legit pitchers out there, the bullpen. So guess what? We brought up this young guy. Okay, this young guy, who's this? Oh, Francisco. Okay, he throws 99, cutting inside the lefties. Oh, wow, what a slider. Nobody touches it. Everybody missing it by a foot. Oh, shoot. Now you have five guys. Come on, man. You have five guys, electrifying five guys. All of a sudden, the sixth inning comes in. We're winning 2-1. Dude, it's game over, man. And we saw that as a player, as a lineup. We're like, dude, all we have to do is stay up. Let's go get some runs. If we get some runs, this bullpen is going to shut them down. Believe me, it goes through the whole clubhouse. It goes through the whole team. I bet you anything, if they get somebody like that in the bullpen and then they know they can count on to win games like that, man, this team would change, man. It would be change.
I'd like to believe that that we're still in this. I'd like to think that the fact that we play the Cubs seven more times is a big factor. Are we going to sweep them seven games? Highly unlikely, but stranger things have happened. This last week's an example, though. I mean, everybody was thinking, okay, well, we got to sweep the Padres and take 2 or 3 from Tampa. I just wanted us to take 4 or 6. You know, I wanted us to win both series, and if we do that, we're two and a half back.
Yep, and I just wanted to win the next game. I just wanted to win one game. And then the next game, and it didn't happen. So, but it's like you said, you know, you got to take care of business when we have to. But listen, the same again. Why did we lose those games? Mainly because our bullpen, right? That's what I think. You guys are there. You guys are seeing it in your own eyes. I think it's the bullpen right now that's really struggling, you know? Nobody's saying that they cannot pitch. What we're saying is, they're not pitching. You know, they're not pitching well. They're good pitchers, but they're not pitching well, and it's hurting us.
Well, I don't know. You could analyze it all the way down. We're in a situation now, too, where, you know, outside of a couple of a few starts, I'm not quite sure the starting pitching is killing it right now. I mean, we've got problems. I mean, we got guys. Waka obviously is slowing down a little bit, you know. But they've given us a chance to win. The way I look at this thing is we don't have a lot of consistency going on in any facet of our game right now. That's just kind of how I look at it. So
I think the offense is carrying the whole thing. So far, what I've seen, they score runs, and of course they're going to have the downs too. I mean, they're not going to keep up like that, like forever. But the offense is what's keeping us in this thing. The pitching, Carlos is pitching way better lately. He's having great games. That's why those are the games that we need to win. Leak and Waka are really struggling. They need to do something with that. Man, Wainwright went down, but he wasn't pitching great either. And then they got Weaver pitching unbelievable baseball. They got to carry on. Lynn still pitching well. We got to carry this thing on, man. But I'm seriously, I've been saying this for the whole thing, and like you always say, a broken record, but it's so true. We need some bullpen help, man. We really do. And if we do, this team will change. Will change dramatically if we get some bullpen help, man.
Well, before we go, if we were to look at any of that bullpen help whatsoever, right now down on the bullpen with what you have, and I don't speak for anybody but me, but I look at it and I say to myself, okay, I think Brebby has been pretty good. Tyler Lyons has obviously been very good. Bowman,
I like him.
Bowman's been good most of the time, I would say. I mean, obviously, I mean, there's talk that he might be a little tired, but he says he's not, whatever. But Bowman, Brebbia, and Tyler Lyons, when they come in the game, I feel pretty confident. Steve-O, would you agree, those three?
I'm kind of mixed on that. I've just seen it too much. No, I'm not real confident when Bowman comes in right now.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, Brebbia is
well, hang
so,
on.
So...
Let me tell you where
okay.
I'm going with this.
Okay.
All right, if you didn't have the guy, like, I'm sorry, I know a lot of people like Tui. He hasn't pitched well. I know he's supposed to be a really good pitcher, but he hasn't pitched well. I would say we're tired of O. I'd say Cecil's gotten on enough nerves. Zach Duke, the story has not ended well for him. So if you take those other three guys, though, and you were to add two or three more that could really pitch for you, if you went out and made a deal and maybe called up a guy that could get it done for you, you know, maybe you wouldn't have to run some of these guys on the ground. But the bottom line is the other guys just haven't gotten it done. So how do you – but that's a lot of guys, Benji. So how do you – it'd be different if there was only one guy down in your bullpen that was failing you. We've got multiple guys. How do you fix that so fast?
I don't think you can fix it. That's what I said. You won't fix the bullpen. The only thing that you can help it with, it's one good arm. But in this case, we got to survive until September 1st because I think that's when the gate opens to the minor leagues guy, expand it. You know, you can expand your roster and all that. That's what we need to survive. We need to survive till September 1st and see who they bring up, which I hope they bring a lot of arms from down there because that's what they're going to need. If we want to win this thing, I always said it, if we want to win this thing, we got to close out games. And the way we're going right now with four or five pitchers out of the seven or out of the six, four of them are struggling. Ain't going to happen, man. Straight up to you. Ain't going to happen. But if we fix that up and you never know who can help you from the minors, hey, we got a shot, man, because we're going to score runs. This team is exciting. They're going to score. We just got to hold the older team. That's it.
I don't know. This whole thing is, you know, I want to be excited. It's just hard to be excited because it just seems like if we get some momentum going and then we could bring it right back down to reality, it feels like. And it's just, it's a struggle. And I want to believe. It's just, it's a very upsetting thing when, again, I didn't need a sweep. I just needed two out of three in these series this weekend, like Tony La Russa used to say, just win this series.
Yeah, with Jimbo, the only thing that really, really gets me down, it's when we're winning in the late innings and we end up losing that game. That really kills me. That really kills my spirit. I seriously can tell you straight up, and I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way, because if you beat me off from the get-go, hey, you beat me, you're a better team that night or whatever, I can take that. But when we're winning and you have a chance to get six outs or maybe seven outs to win that game, and you cannot do it, and they end up losing that game, I mean, that's a destroyer, man. That destroyed the whole club. That destroyed the whole heart. That destroyed the whole fight. destroy the whole town, everything, man. That's why I said the main thing for us is bullpen help.
What do you think, Steve-O? You go with the young kid and give him a chance?
Absolutely.
I mean, really, at this juncture, what do you have to lose? Benji, I was going to ask you this. So that's where I was going. The only reason I can see them not bringing this kid up and saying, okay, go get him, and I don't care if they close him. If they think Tyler Lyons is their closer and they want to pitch this kid in the seventh or eighth and ease him into it, I'm okay with that too. I don't really care. But my point is, the only reason I could see them not bringing him up, and this drives me crazy when this is the excuse, could you see them saying, well, he just might not be ready, and what we'd hate is for him to go up there and not do well? Doesn't
well,
that drive
who's doing well?
Yeah, I mean,
who's doing in their mind? I want to know this. We should put it in the Twitter question. Who the heck in their mind is doing well in the bullpen?
Well, I don't,
that's all. That's what we need to know.
Well, I mean, pretty obvious right now. The only guy down there that you feel 100% about right now is Tyler Lyons. He's been awfully good. I'd say Brebby
is. I love that guy.
Brebby has been pretty good. I mean, on the whole, I'd say he's been pretty good. But after that, I mean, you know, Bowman's had his moments. Like I said, he might be overused, whatever. I don't know. It's a tough thing, but I'm all for it. I say you bring him up. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen. Last question, because as we're up against time. What do you do with Tommy Pham if you're Benji Molina next year?
I'll give him the spot. What the heck are you talking about?
You're keeping him. You're buying.
I'll take him into the office. Oh, yeah. I'll take him up to the office, and I say, hey, listen, Tom, get ready in the offseason. You don't have to worry about your spot. Your spot is won already. You know, you're one of my outfielders. Just go out, get ready, have fun, training, come back strong, and we're going to do this again. That's what I would do if I'm the manager. Now, would they do that, though? I don't know, because they have a $25 million, $30 million guy that they already pay. They might have to use. And they have our favorite guy, the potential guy, that they might give him the spot. Plus, they got Fowler, that's a veteran, who's going to play. I don't know if they're going to do that, but that's what I would have done. That's what I would do.
Why is it so hard? Now, again, I get it. Is it truly they don't want to feel like they missed on a guy? Because I've said this once, I'll say it again. If both guys are on the roster, you're paying them both. Why not play the better guy? Shouldn't it be that simple?
You have to play the better guy if you want to win. If you want to struggle, if you want to not win, or, you know, whatever you want to say it, yeah, you play the guy that you think is supposed to play. But if you want to win, don't you want Tommy Pham in your lineup if you want to win a game? You tell me, don't you want that name in the lineup? I don't care where. I want him in the lineup if I want to win this game today.
So,
I want it.
Right. So now we're back to my original question. Why is it so hard? Like right now, I'm going to give you – I mean, there is no doubt. I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy. I'm just not. But there is absolutely zero reason for Stephen Piscotty to be playing right now. Zero. I'm sorry,
yeah,
zero.
Yeah, he's having trouble. He's having even worse things off the field, and we have to understand that. Maybe that's hurting him a little, but, yeah, right now, you know, keep him in the bench. Just, hey, man, just let's see. You know, this is what I would do. You know, I would talk to him and then say, hey, man, we got a hot guy here, and we're riding his bat, man. We got Fowler. If you want to mix him up with Piscotty and Grishik, you know, whoever's hotter, whoever's swinging the bat better, then you can do that. But we're going to have to play that guy. And I'll be honest with the kid, you know. That's the kind of manager I would be. You know, I'll be honest with him and say, I know they pay you the money. I know you got to play. And even if Mo comes to us, because I had that, I've been through that. We had a little argument when I was there because I wanted to play the guy who was doing well. And he wanted to play the potential. And I told him, I said, well, don't ask me then, because you're the guy, you're going to play him anyway. So why are you asking me, what do I think? So just play the guy, whatever you want. But don't come in here asking me, what do I think? So it's hard, man. It's hard because
you pay the guy, he has to win, has to play. But this is a business, man, and you'll be surprised. But, you know, if you want to win, you got to play the hot hand, man. That's just how it is.
I've seen a lot of comparisons to Tommy Pham's season to Ryan Ludwig on Twitter a lot lately. And saying that, you know, they committed to Ryan Ludwig, who finally broke out at the same age as Tommy Pham, and he was just, you know, it turned out to be kind of an aberration. Would you, any reason that you would disagree with that and have feeling to believe that this is, like, I think a lot of us want to believe this is who Tommy Pham is. He's a guy that can hit 300 and hit 25 homers and play good defense for you if he's in the lineup every day.
And steal bases and score runs from first. And, I mean, the guy is playing a freaking MVP season for our club. He's playing an MVP season, man. Who can see that? I don't know if they cannot see this kid doing the things that he's doing. He put the freaking ball in play, dude. He hits 300, man. And you're going to have a guy hitting 217, 220, strikes out more than 100 times. Are you going to put that guy over this guy? That's what I want to know. But the thing is, he's playing an MVP season. Okay, he earned the spot. So next year, you start with this kid. And you know what? If he doesn't even do it, if he comes out and struggle, and if he doesn't do what you expected, that's not your deal. That's not your fault. Because he told you, I'm ready to go. Now he's struggling. So guess what? Now you look for the other option. What the heck? Who's our next guy? Who's our next guy up? Let's go. Okay, because Tommy Pham obviously didn't work out next year. He's not hitting. Okay, who's our next guy? Let's go. Come on, you got to be ready. Come on. You know what I mean? You have to have that mentality to go at it, you know. And if he doesn't work out next year, but at least he's showing that he earned that spot next year. And if he doesn't do well next year, then you move him aside and say, hey, listen, we need a guy who can do it right now. So let's go. Come on. Who is it?
Steve-O?
That's what I would.
Steve-O, has he convinced you to keep Tommy Pham?
I wanted at the trade deadline, I want to sell him high.
Okay.
Okay? I think that's a good deal, too.
But that's a good thing, too. I'm with Steve-O. If you want to improve your team to bring a guy from the bullpen or bring another guy, yeah, I mean, you can use him as a trade. I'm just saying, like, if you're not going to trade the guy, he earned the spot. He earned it.
Yes, he did. And that's why, you know, if you're looking at this season, if you're looking for the next month of this season, I think position player-wise, you have six guys right now that you're going to roll out every day. And you got two spots open, and you got to find them. And my six guys are...
What's your spots that are open?
Third base.
Next year you have third base open?
Third base.
So you're not a Jericho guy.
I'm saying right now.
Oh, right now.
Right now.
Okay, go ahead.
I got six guys right now that play every day. It's going to be Molina.
Okay.
It's going to be Carpenter.
Okay.
It's going to be Wong.
Okay.
It's going to be Rodney DeYoung.
Right.
It's going to be Pham and Fowler. So you got two guys right now that you got to fill in somewhere. Okay?
Okay.
Next year, I think you got five guys that have earned a spot for next year.
And who are those guys?
Everybody I just mentioned minus Carpenter. Carpenter, you got to either find a spot for him that suits him better, or you got to find him out of here. And we talked about that. I don't know what his options are or who's going to want him. But I don't think he could be your first baseman the way he plays first base.
And that brings us to the last question of the day, Benji. It sounds like to me, at least for the foreseeable future, my guess is that tomorrow night when the lineup rolls out, you're going to see Matt Carpenter at third and Luke Voit at first base. You have any thoughts on that? I think you've actually advocated for that at times, have you not?
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, even Jerka is having a good thing, but Jerka has been struggling really bad lately. You cannot, as a manager, I would not even have a little trust on him right now because of the way he's swinging. But I would go that way. But I'm with Steve-O. You know, I'm with Steve-O. I got to find a spot for Carpenter or he's out. This is a National League baseball. This is not DH. This is not a American League where you have the DH going on and you can put him there and that's it. He can hit. You got to find him a spot or just trade him and get somebody good for him. And at the same time, you got to be prepared to have somebody to do what he does or even better. So they got some questions to answer.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm going to try to figure out then what exactly we do with Carpenter then, because I mean,
but there's a lot of questions out there, Jimbo. Not only Carp. Think about Sigrist. Sigrist, that's a huge question. What do you do with Sigrist? He's been hurt quite a few times. That's the back problem. You have that's a question. You have the question of Rosenthal, that he's not going to be there. You have Alex Reyes coming up from the surgery, Tommy Young. You have the Lynn's question that he's going to be a free agent. Do you give the spot to Weaver? What do you do with Wainwright? I mean, they have so many questions, dude. It's not only that. DeJohn, can he play everyday shortstop? Wong, is he earned a spot to be the second baseman? The third baseman, Jerko, is he coming back? Is he going to help us back? Or is better off just let him go and get somebody else? Or things like that, man. You need to field up the bench, too. The bench is doing all right. I like the bench they have. I like Greg Garcia. I like if they leave Boyd can hit like crap, man. He can hit. I like their bench a little. So, I like Martinez. He's doing a heck of a year. He's having a heck of a year. I'll leave him up there. So there's a bunch of questions that those guys have to answer.
Well, I guess we'll have to see. I think this is a big season for the. We say it every year when they're not very good. It's going to be a big year for the front office. This is going to be a big year for the front office. I will say this. There's a lot of talk on social media. People say, you know, what's going on with the fans, and as long as the fans go, they're going to keep doing this. And they are blessed with a pretty strong fan base, but I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure a lot of the people that go down there religiously are going to live with another off season of not improving this club dramatically.
I want to comment on that one.
Okay.
I want to make a little comment. I want to comment on what you just said. If, as long as people keep going, and I hope they do, and I know they will, because they're good baseball fans. That's the best city for fans for baseball. I know they will. But if you put this team in Anaheim, or you put this team in Oakland, you put this team in places that are hard to get people in to go watch games because they have so many things around the town or whatever their reasons are. But it's hard to get people into the games. Like I was in the Anaheim game yesterday or the day before, and it was really hard to watch. You got Astros and Angels fighting for Angels are fighting for a playoff, and the Astros are the best team in baseball. And the stadium was empty, man. So my thing is, if you're the organization of St. Louis and you start seeing that the fans still go, they're still gonna go every day. They're still gonna pack it up every day. They don't feel the need to do something about it. They feel that need that okay, the fans are still coming, man. That's good. That's good for us. It's not like, okay, the fans stop coming because they see the team, they want to change, they want to this. Dude, I tell you, they're open their eyes and be like, oh, man, we need the fans back. Let's do something. I'm not saying to the fans, don't go. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say, please don't go to the games. But that's how they see it probably in their heads. Like, man, we're still drawing 45,000 people every time we go out here have a game. Man, and we're struggling. And we still have 45,000 people. So guess what? We might not have to do so much. Maybe we can win with this. Flip a coin. Let's see if we can win. If we don't, we don't. And they're happy with that. But if you have 13,000, 18,000, 20,000 every night, they'll be like, what the heck is going on? We got to improve this team or to get fans back in. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I mean?
Like, for sure.
That's how Anaheim is going through.
Right. And like, BMO,
how the heck do I get people in?
You're exactly right. And that's one of the products of, and I'll relate it to football, the Rams leaving town. There's less entertainment dollars that are being taken away from the Cardinals. And these guys are still, you know, the fans are out there looking to spend it on something. So they're still packing a house. In my gut and in my heart, I don't feel management's looking at it from the standpoint of people are still going to show up so we can roll out whatever we want to. I still think that they are of the mentality that we're going to do whatever it takes to win. But we need to see something now because we're too close to still stay 4.5 games back for the last 2 months.
Yes, we need to see something, man. We need to see the office do something. We need to see that arm. We need to see that bat. We need to see somebody from the minor leagues to come up and take over all these things and say, hey, guys, just jump on my back. I got you. And you guys have been having us for all year. Let's go, man. Or that arm that you can say, man, all we got to do is win until the sixth. And then the arms are going to take us to the win. And you know, things like that. But you got to do something, man, especially when you're that close to make it to the playoff on a hard year, on a tough year, because it's been a tough year to watch. I don't care if you're a Cardinal fan. It's been a tough, tough year to watch. So if you can make it up at the end and win the division over the Cubs just because you got that help, I mean, come on, man. You know how big we'll be? That would be awesome, you know?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm like every other Cardinal fan. I want them to win every year. But some of that is being spoiled. I can admit that I'm spoiled. Like, you know, I'm sitting here with Steve, one of my best friends, and when the Cardinals are struggling, the first thing that comes to my mind is I think about how it's going to be another – like I think to myself, well, I won't be at the World Series game with my buddy Steve-O like I am when they're in the series. I mean, he and I typically are there. We take, you know, we have our stuff we do, and, you know, it's been an incredible run that they've been on. And obviously, they've only been to a few World Series, but it may be even the playoffs. It doesn't matter. Just something about playoff baseball, playing baseball in St. Louis in October, provides these unbelievable memories. And it almost, for a while it wasn't every year, it almost became a rite of passage for us as Cardinal fans. And I think that's ultimately where some of this, and I'll say delirium, comes from. Is because I think we're spoiled. And I don't know that, and I'm not even saying that that's wrong. I just think it's a product of something that we became used to. And I think it's become our expectation. So I don't know where we go from here because we have these expectations. I don't think the Cardinals don't care. I think they realistically have made a couple of bad choices. I also believe that some things, you know, haven't worked out for them that really boggle the mind. I mean, man, an example would be, he was so good last year, and he's been awful. I mean, to go from being that good to awful, I mean, how often does that happen? I mean, from that bad to awful. So I think they've had some things work against them, but at the same time, ultimately, you have to stand there and be accountable for the choices you make, and you put yourself in a position with your roster, and I'm sorry, but this didn't just start last year. This thing started a few years ago where you started weeding out these older veterans and started counting on more younger guys instead of sprinkling in younger guys. That's where I believe they messed up.
Ding, 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 ding. You hit it. You hit it, man. You got it. That's exactly right. When you have veterans that are ballers and they know how to do it and they know how to make a double play good and they know how to act without having even getting a sign from the manager. They know when a bunt play's coming. They charge the pitcher. They charge the batter. They try to get the third base runner out when you have Pujols up first from the veteran and try to pick off a guy from Yadi. When nobody even thought up in the world about getting picked off, Yadi and Pujols do it. When you have Viña, when you have Renteria, you want me to keep going? Scott Rowland, when you have guys that were older, that were veterans, and now who do we got? Young guys. So guess what? They're not bad players. They're great players too, but they don't have the veteran yet. They're not veterans. And they got them out, and they got the young guys, so now they got to eat it up. That's what you got to do, right?
Well, again, I'm all for young guys and the impacts they make on clubs. I'm not of the belief of we're going to count on a guy because he did well for a few months. That's number one. And number two, I think it's more realistic to get real contributions from those guys if they're sprinkled in amongst proven players. And I think that was the Cardinal. Look at some of those Cardinal teams that did well. Alan Craig, John Jay, Daniel Descalzo. Big parts of a team, but big parts of a team that what? Had some proven guys around them.
and they knew how to do things. These guys are learning to do the things. These guys right now are learning to be veterans. They're learning the game. They're you know, some, I see it, man. You don't have to tell me. I watch the games too. I see it all the time. And I'm like, dude, how can you do this? You have to think ahead. Like the base runnings and all these things that we see. Those veteran guys will advance a base. These young guys, it takes them a while to advance the base. They go backwards. They stay at first or something like that, you know, because they're young. It's nature. They're not ready for it yet. But that's the big role on the veterans. That's what they make. That's what they bring. And you getting those guys out, hey, you got what you got, buddy. Deal with it now.
Well, we have went way over the time clock today. Good thing nobody was needing the studio, because we blew right past our hour, almost to the tune of an hour and a half. But I do know this: when you speak, the fans really love to hear your opinion, and you know, they gets on board. And a lot of fans tell me that when they get to feeling down about the Cardinals, they just check you out and they feel better. So hopefully we can, you know. I know some people have said, I just wish it'd be over already because it gets frustrating, but not me. If they want to, if they've got a run in them, I'll deal with it. I'm happy to deal with a run, that's for sure.
Well, it'll be so sweeter if they make the playoff, man, because of the hard year they've been going through. And I always said it through the beginning. I really, really believe they could win the division. I really do believe it. So don't count them out yet.
Well, we shall see. And again, I hope, you know, I hope they have another run in them because, again, like I said earlier, I think for me at the end of the day, the biggest problem is, you know, we've lived through a time in Cardinal baseball and at a time in my life where I got to experience a lot of amazing things over at Busch Stadium, and I'd like to do it again. So I hope they got a run in them, and I guess we'll see if we can start that back up tomorrow night.
You got it, man. And Steve-O, I'm winning my fantasy league, so don't worry about drafting guys, okay?
No,
I'm still winning it.
Hey, Benji, we're all in first right now, bud. This season hasn't started.
Did you guys draft already?
No. Next Sunday.
So let me ask you this. Knowing what you know, Steve-O, let's say that when you guys pick out where you draft, you get you'd pick right in front of Benji. Are you taking Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I'm taking Aaron. I'm going to piss him off.
Are you kidding me, man? For real? You're picking him up, and then I have to give you two running backs for my guy. Come on, man.
Hey, that's big teams are made.
And you'll probably trade me Ezekiel Elliott, right?
Oh, no, I will never get that guy. I will never get that guy, even if he's the last guy on the thing, man. I will never get him.
Is Yachty in this?
I cannot have a Cowboy in my team. I know. It gives me viruses.
Well, then I know you're not going to win.
Where is this draft taking place?
Man. Oh, man.
Where's this draft taking place?
Maybe that's...
It's online.
It's an online draft?
Yeah.
That's the easiest way because a lot of guys are in different towns and stuff. So
now, will Yachty take Cowboy players because he loves the Cowboys? Is that how this works? And you'll take Green Bay players?
Heck yeah, already. Steve-O's first round pick is Tony Romo.
You know it is. Hey, he's coming back.
So you and Yachty will be competing over the Dallas.
Well, then we got Kyle and who else? Noel's he's a Cowboy
Noel's
guy.
To Dallas.
Yeah. There's like four or five Cowboy guys in this league.
So but that's the thing though. So you should be good, Benji, because if you're a Cowboy guy, there is no way you're taking Aaron Rodgers, is there? No way.
Oh well, believe me, if they can do it, they will. They could take him.
Oh my goodness!
I gotta get my guy, man. And Yachty is awesome too. He loves talking crap, man. He haven't been on there in that group, but he'll be in it. He'll be in it soon.
Well, BMO, I'm going to that Cowboy Packer game. It looks like so. I'm gonna be there, and I'm gonna be dressed head to toe in my Cowboy gear.
Well, I'll be there. I'll go with Benji, and we'll wear our Green Bay gear.
I gotta start making plans and see what we can do because I want to go.
Yeah.
So. I gotta start moving.
All right, sounds good, my friend. We will talk to you on Thursday.
I just don't want to get beat up. All right.
Oh, you won't get beat up. You'll be with me, buddy.
No, yeah, he's a high roller. This guy, let me tell you. All right, my friend.
Man, you know what? When we win that game, I don't want to be beat up, man.
I don't think that's happening.
All right, BMO. We'll see you Thursday, my friend.
You got it, guys. Have fun over there.
See ya. Well, that went long.
Yeah.
But an interesting conversation, none the least.
You know, it's amazing that the deeper in the season we get, the more stuff we seem to have to talk about. Just, yeah, I mean, there's some stuff that we go back to constantly, and there's some stuff that's brand new. And I'm sure even if the off season, when that happens, and there's plenty of stuff to talk about when you're talking about Cardinal baseball, that's for sure.
Is the season different? I mean, you look back, if Cecil doesn't give up the bomb to Kyle Schwarber in the first homestand, is the season completely different?
Probably.
Isn't it amazing? You look back and think about the things that went down, and oh boy. I mean, I just remember sitting there that day going, holy cow, that didn't work. That's what I felt like. But hey, good stuff, my friend. Really appreciate it. Want to give a shout out to, I know we've got some people that we interact with on Twitter and Facebook that are down in the Texas region, especially those closer to the coastline there. Our thoughts and prayers are with you guys, and you know there's a lot of amazing stories coming out of there. But the bottom line is there's thousands and thousands and thousands of awful things happening, and you know we're just pulling for you guys and hoping that you can get back to any sort of normalcy in some decent amount of time. I know it's not going to happen anytime soon, but for those of you affected by it, obviously, you know, your thoughts and prayers are very well thought of here at Two Birds on a Bat. So hope things improve. Again, I know they're not going to happen overnight for you down there, but, you know, it's amazing to see some of this video of what's happening. It's just natural disasters are just ridiculous.
They're disasters.
Yeah, unreal. But anyway, want to thank everybody for tuning in this week to Two Birds on a Bat. Make sure you check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. Hit us up on Facebook as well, Two Birds on a Bat. Check out the Birds on a Bat Facebook group. Of course, our Facebook groups that we couldn't do the show without. Of course, you heard from Nate McHenry earlier and his Rally Squirrel Report, which is always good stuff. St. Louis Cardinals News and Rumors, which is now affectionately known to you and I as the Redbird Report, just another growing community. Chris Lawless with Cardinal Nation, Cardinal 24/7. I know he had sent something out. He's looking for some feedback from everybody and some grades on his page. So help him out with that as well. And of course, the Cardinal Freaks. Appreciate them all. Appreciate everybody at lineupmedia.fm. For Steve-O, this is Jimbo. We will see you guys on Thursday. Let's go, Birds.
Go, Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.